Thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on liveparanormal.com and history.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.
Hello, I can't lost the audio clip, so we are in here. Hi, Cousin Fabian, how are you tonight?
What's up?
I don't know what happened to the audio clips. I'm searching, and they disappeared to play Mikey's song, so I'm going to keep looking because I don't want to cut out of the studio. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
but it just said upload audio clips, so I did. And wait, there's no audio clips. They vanished.
Oh, wow.
My Lord. I don't know where they went. They were here. It was there, and then they were gone. When I went to after I put the I know. I don't know what happened. Audio clip. I'm going to just press this and see if I can make something happen. I don't see search. Nothing. I'm trying to look. So how's your night? We're here to talk about some interesting things.
Oh, I'm fine. I'm on my way to work as usual, and I would sing the song, but I'm not very good at singing. I'd run everybody off for sure.
Oh, no. I can't believe I can't. I mean, this is crazy. I'm like, what do I do? I don't know how to get it back. Let me try switching my phone to the other way.
Okay.
No,
hey, Lisa.
Yes.
Do you remember Hee Haw?
Yes.
You remember this? Gloom, despair, and agony, oh me, oh.
Oh, guess what?
Deep, dark depression. Oh, man, I was just getting started.
Wait, you have to start singing. You have to start. Keep singing.
Go ahead.
No, I got to find it.
Oh,
I got to find it first. Hold on. Keep
here
singing.
It is. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Oh.
All right, let me look. Now it didn't do it again. Oh, my God.
Oh.
They're totally killing me. Okay. Never mind. Oh, wait.
Matter.
Wait. Oh, look, I got a search now. Oh, wait. Oh, that's a good one. But anyway, let me try to keep up. Oh, wait. I'm almost there. I found it. All right. Are you ready to listen to a 31-second clip of Mike Terrio's new project? He's now he's inside the studio with his friend Joey. They have a new band,
awesome.
And it's called Sell This Sound, and the song is called Going to Be. This is a studio demo clip of what they're doing now, and it's called Fresh Air. All right, here we go. Okay, how was that? Did you like that little clip there, cuz?
Yes, I loved it.
I know, me too. Well, our topic tonight is pretty interesting. You want to go into a little detail about it?
Yeah, I'll get it started. I was contemplating something yesterday. My wife and I were sitting on the couch, and she was on her phone, and she was reading about a star that recently passed away, Aaron Carter, I think.
Yeah, the Backstreet Boy brother. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and we were just discussing this thing about death and everything. And then she just come out of the blue and asked me a very interesting question. And I just thought it was benchmarking, something I've thought about but never really talked about.
Right.
Okay. But I went a step further, but here was her question. If I thought whether or not he found God and got right with God, and I said, well, first of all, that's between him and God. That was my reply.
Yep.
And I don't know, and God rest his soul. God bless his family, him and Nick and the whole Carter family and all of them. And
right.
My condolences to their family. It sucks that it happened, but I mean, that's one thing about life. We were all born to die, and it happens. It's not a question.
I know.
It's not always a question of why, but when. And
I know.
After I answered that question, I got to thinking really deep about something. Because I believe it was said that he had drowned, if my memory serves me correctly.
Yeah,
is that right? Okay.
Yeah, they said that he was in the bathtub, and the housekeeper that he actually saved, that this housekeeper, that she actually was homeless and everything, gave her a job, everything like that. And she came, and she was devastated. She came in the morning and found him drowned in the bathtub.
That sucks, man.
I know. And then, nobody expected it. You know what I mean? But
no, it's terrible when that happened.
There was some apparatuses that looked like he was huffing. You know what I mean? Like, in the room. But I don't know how much a rumor that is yet. Because you got to be really careful.
Whitney Houston had, she was in the shower, I believe, and the warmth from the shower hit her all at once really fast, and there was water in the basin part of the shower, and when she fell, she hit her head and drowned.
Exactly.
And the drugs, what is it, euphoria? Am I using the right word? It puts them into some kind of
I have no idea, because I would never even ever think of doing that stuff. I mean, that scares me.
Sweetie. I wasn't asking you because of personal experience, okay.
No,
I'm just wondering if that, the word part of it, the wordage or whatever,
I would say the escape.
Release.
Yeah, but I don't know with that crazy stuff with, like, it's like that meth and huffing and all that kind of stuff. It's like a time bomb to kill yourself. I mean,
I don't know anything about it.
Read all about what it is, and I'm like, why would people want to inhale chemicals?
I'll tell you a story about inhaling chemicals later, since you brought it up. But let me tell you, after she asked me that question, I got to dwelling on something about when a person is unable to verbally ask for God, ask for grace, as they're going into that darkest, that deepest, darkest level where they're leaving their body, and they're unable to communicate verbally, but their last thoughts are, Lord, like, let's say, for instance, they're Christian, and they're saying, and they're thinking in their mind, because they can't obviously say it out loud to God or their God or whatever. And they're asking for to be admitted into heaven. You know, they're asking for that passage. Or like in a Christian's example, as a Christian, I would say, at least I would think, as I was drowning and coming to my end, Lord Jesus, would you please accept me, forgive me of all my sins, and believe you the right, the truth, and the way, and can you bring me into heaven if it's your will? I can't say that. What my question to you is that I called you last night and asked you was if you thought that, and I loved your answer. Your answer was awesome. But the question I asked you last night, and I said I really wanted to ask it on the show, was that in that moment where we're in that twilight, where we're dying, and we're unable to communicate in our last thoughts, do you believe those would be sufficient for grace or for being able to cross over?
Yeah, here's my thought is, I don't think it matters. I think that when you're a good person. You really might have messed up. You know, everybody does. We're not perfect. We're human. All right. I think if you're a good-hearted person, a good-souled person, I don't think you have to ask anything. I think that you would just go. I think that you would be greeted by your family, by your loved ones, and you would just go. I mean, hey. There's mom, there's dad, there's uncle, you know what I mean? There's your animals, okay? And you would just go.
Yeah.
But now, I cannot say the same if you're not a good person.
Exactly.
Because between a good person and an evil person, okay, you have two totally different strains of individuals. Mm-hmm. So is heaven just all the good people where they go and chill and everything's cool? You know what I mean? And then the other one is where everybody's always arguing and fighting, betting against each other. It would be hell, you know?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, if they're really like that, and they're not going to ask for forgiveness, are they?
No, and, you know, the interesting, and by the way,
they don't care.
That's a very, excuse me, that's a very safe and very beautiful answer.
Thank you.
I think it really meant a lot to me. I'm going that way, and to know that I tried to do right, and I tried to live my life, and tried to do, you know, with kindness toward mankind and animals and people,
right.
All that, you know, everything around me, nature, trying to do the right thing, and worrying about that question, because I'm dying. All of a sudden, my mind knows that I'm dying, and I cannot utter a word. I cannot do anything but lay there and let it happen. And a lot of people, I would think, they're probably not even thinking about that. Their first thought is that they're trying to survive, and their thought process is more along the lines of probably, I'm trying to survive. Hence, there's shock, too. And then when someone goes into shock, it creates a whole different
thing. if it's tragic and unexpected, like an accident, you know what I mean?
Yeah, right. You have no idea.
Yeah, you're like, what the hell just happened? You know what I mean? What is going on? And some, I think that falls into the ghost realm, because some people might say, no, I don't want to leave. I'm scared. What's going on? I'm not dead. It can't be. You know what I mean? Like, I think that falls into that angle of it. But I don't think there's as many ghosts as people think. I think most of them could come back. You know what I mean? Like, if you want to see your spirit.
I think so, too. I do, too. Because if you talk, I mean, if you do. I mean, when you've talked, you and I have talked to the other side, quote, unquote.
Right.
They seem to have free will choice. They don't seem to be tied. They can move about. And even move from where, you know, a lot of people think they're trapped where they died. And I've in my experiences over the past, 1976, how long ago was that? Let's see, 26, it'll be, oh my God, I'm not even going to say how long that's going to be, that's crazy. There's people who are younger than how long I've been dealing with this. So
no, I know that, I know.
I'm making myself feel a little old, but no, I've not had that experience where, unless it was residual and I could feel and that it was residual and that it was not intelligent and it wasn't doing nothing, you know?
Yeah, like a repeat. That, like, it's like something stuck on repeat.
I think those are.
Yeah. Uh-oh.
Gettysburg. Because it is such a great, it's like a garden of residuals, you know?
I know
but
that.
The intelligence aspect of it, there's just something about spirit that has, like, this fluidness to it where it seems like I can be on the ghost box and get the same spirit. It will give me the same reply and not be – I could be 300 or 400 miles away in a different place.
Wait. So that's
ask the question.
What's the name. What's the
name?
What is your name?
Karen.
That's your spirit.
Walter.
Walter, he's universal. Karen. Yeah, but he goes elsewhere too. Walter's, but Karen must be your spirit guide.
Yeah, and that's what I've told people for years, that Karen Barnett is who, and Rachel, and
Rachel. Wait a minute.
I'll tell
Rachel.
You, yeah, and there's a story about Rachel, and it's a heartbreaking story. It's a true story with my life, just like the Pierce house. But it happened in 70. It happened. In 77.
Right.
And we had moved. I went and spent the fall with my mother in Houston. And I met this girl who was November 16th, 1969 was her birthday. And I got put a year back because I was told I was mentally disabled because I wrote with my left hand. In
the 70s. God, we know how that goes.
Yes, and because of that, they said I actually had what they would call today ADD, ADXYZ, whatever.
I do. I have it.
And
have it too.
They called it hyperactive when I was a kid.
Hyperactive.
Yeah.
Disorder.
So they said I had a learning disorder, and I wrote with my left hand, and I was ugly. No, I'm just kidding.
No.
No. No, but no, the bottom line is that Rachel was a girl, a little girl that I knew growing up, and I would go back and visit her every summer. And mm-hmm. when I was a kid, I promised her mom, Connie, that I would marry her when I grew up.
Oh.
Well, in 1986, she was brutally raped and murdered and thrown in Bray's Bayou, not more than 100, probably 200, 300 feet behind the high school.
That motherfucking bastard.
To.
Did they catch the bastard?
I didn't follow up because when I caught, well, this is how I found out. I have no idea. I'm sure they did.
Mm-hmm.
But this is how I found out. When me and my first wife, when it was over, it was done in 92, and I'd been hitting the clubs, it was 91, I apologize, and I'd been hitting the clubs for about 6 or 7 months, you know, going out and sowing my oats and getting, getting down with the crowd, you know, and having fun and living it up. But after all that, I burned through all that, and I didn't want to do that anymore.
Right.
So I ended up just saying no. I want to try to find something normal. So I'm drunk. I'm really drunk. Drank grape shine. You ever heard of grape shine?
No, I don't know what that is.
That is moonshine. It's moonshine, 100 proof, with grapes in it, and you eat the grapes,
and they will
knock you back. And I ate like 2 or 3 of them grapes, and I got to thinking, all of a sudden, Lisa, I remembered her phone number from 1977.
Holy shit.
I know, I'm not kidding. It's like something sent me a message. And I'm sitting there and I'm writing. I wrote down her phone number, and this is 91, and so I call.
Right.
Her mom answers. And her mom's like, who is this?
Uh-huh.
I said, this is Fabian. Is Rachel around? Oh,
yeah.
Her mom got pissed.
Oh, my God.
Her mom said, you little son of a bitch, you promised me you would marry her. Her mom was obviously still, it was 86 when it happened, so.
Right.
That's like
5 years
later, and man, she just tore into me and said, don't you ever call me again.
Oh.
So, but after that, anytime I was, like, even on the tape recorder, I'd hear Rachel.
Yep.
And Rachel came through many times over the years in different places. So
she's
watching over you. And that's what I want to believe. And I'm sorry I went along on that, but I never told you that.
No, I know
it. Houston, Texas, and still is such a dangerous place.
Yes.
And I would have never imagined that the very first girl I fell in love with would have lost her beautiful life in such a terrible way.
I know. I know what you mean. Yeah, but she's watching over you. She's got to be.
I will always believe that.
Oh, you know it. You could talk to her. There's no doubt in my mind.
I have.
There's no. I swear that they want.
I have. I've talked to her.
Yep, you have.
Many
times. But the other one is Karen. You get her every time.
Yeah,
She's probably your guide. You know what I mean?
Karen was very protective over me at work.
But what about a guide? When you have a spirit guide, like the guide, they usually come with you when you're born. So there'd be a repetitive voice with a name. The rest of them are guides, they guide you through life. You know what I mean? Like they help you and they stay with you. Have you gotten a male or a female voice that you don't even have a name to that you get all the time?
I've not really dwelled on that, but
Ask Walter. He'll tell you.
Ask Walter. Yeah. Walter will hook you up. Hey, and you know something else that's wonderful?
What?
We were talking last night about dogs and cats.
Oh, yes.
Of course, I've never seen or felt or sensed a cat spirit. That doesn't, of course, that's just my personal thing. But dogs, quite a few. And you were telling me, I wanted to hear what you thought about the Rainbow Bridge.
Well, I'll tell you what. I know I told you, but I used to have this dream, okay, when I was a kid. Okay, now this is why this is my version of what I think of Jesus. How's this? I'm going to put that out there. All right, because everybody wants to know, I imagine. but I was raised Catholic, but that has nothing to do with this dream. It's totally off the wall. I used to, every Christmas Eve, I would get excited to go to bed because I know I have the same dream every year until I hit 14 and my parents divorced. I got angry, became a punk rocker. Okay, we'll go backwards. So as far back as I can remember, I'd get all excited to go to bed on Christmas Eve. And I'd dream that I was walking somewhere that looked like the Middle East, like in the deserts and, the, you know what I mean, and the stone buildings, you know what I mean, like that. And mm-hmm. there was a waterway and then a stone bridge that went across the waterway, okay? You know, like that white stone, that, you know what I mean, like that kind of stone. And it went across, and it had a little bit of wood, you know, on it, though, and but it was mostly stone. And I would wait on the one side of the bridge, and I'd be all excited. I would be waiting, and all of a sudden, here would come dogs and cats and every animal you can imagine. No horses on. I mean, it was like the parade of animals, and I would get so excited because here they all came, and I'd say hi. You know what I mean? You understand.
Yeah,
and they'd all
yeah.
run and say hello, and then and then they would go. I don't know where the hell they went, but they went behind me. And then he would come. Jesus would come out from the other side of the bridge, mm-hmm. and he would be smiling. He came with all the animals, so there was more buying with him. And he came out, and he would come up to me, and I'd be so excited. I don't remember ever speaking. You understand?
Yeah.
And I'd get a really, really big hug, and then I'd wake up.
What do you think it meant?
What about the Rainbow Bridge?
Yeah.
The bridge. I didn't know
the
about
bridge.
The Rainbow Bridge. I didn't know about the Rainbow Bridge when I was a kid. I didn't know anything about it. I did not know anything about this. But it was
okay.
a bridge, and what came first? All the animals.
I got you.
All right, but the Rainbow Bridge, I believe that. I believe they're always there. I mean, like, I've caught, like, my dogs, you know what I mean? Like, once in a while, you know what I mean? I would get a glimpse of one of the boys, you know, or mom.
Uh-huh.
Out of the corner of my eye, or I'd hear one, or I'd sense them. You know what I mean? But they're gone. You know? And I believe over that bridge, is whatever's over that bridge is beautiful. It's got to be beautiful because all the, even when I go back to my dream, it seemed like everything on the other side of that bridge was beautiful. Everything looked happy. You're with all these happy animals.
Well, that's beautiful. That's groovy as shit. I like that.
Yeah. It was so exciting because I was a little kid and I would get ready to go to bed on Christmas Eve and I knew this dream was coming every year.
Hmm.
I mean, you know, I don't know. But that I remember pretty clear, you know. But, we all grow up and get angry and then he stopped dreaming. All right. But, like, with Walter, I used to see him as a child. And he used to talk to me in my room, and then I got mad when everything happened. When my parents got divorced, I just got pissed off at the world. You know,
yeah.
I didn't want to, so then I just started hearing them, you know, or dreaming. But what do you think about the Rainbow Bridge?
I've always believed before I even understood a concept of what happened. See, I was raised on a farm, starting out very, very young. I lived out in the country. And I'd lived in Houston, and then my mom sent me out in the country to live with my brother Thomas to get me out of the city. But I'd go back and see her and go to school and then go back out and work the farm, you know, after school was what was over. And then during the summer, I'd work the farm. And then eventually ended up staying there. About 78 or 79, I started making it like a regular thing. Then I went back in 1979 to live with my mom in El Campo, but that story, you know. When I was a kid early on, when I was real little, and learning about animals and watching my brother butcher them, and he told me when I come out there, you can't fall in love with the animals. Because, of course, I'm a little kid, and I'm running, chasing the chickens, chasing the ducks. Out there, go collect the eggs, giving the animals names, and my brother looks at me and he says, you can't do that. You cannot fall in love with the animals.
And
so,
you did anyway.
And I did anyway, and I did against what I was told. I was falling. And whenever they passed away, my sister-in-law sent me to talk to this lady that lived in the trailer park, and she went to church. She was an older lady, and I asked her, what happened to the animals that we had to kill, you know?
Yeah.
And like when I was seven, you know, I was like, why did we have to kill them? She said, because we eat, and the Lord says in the Bible that we, you know, we eat what we kill, and that makes it right. And to me, I was thinking that there's some kind of way that God takes all of their spirits into God's arms, you know.
Well, yeah, and, in one way or another, of course.
So the bridge, to me, whenever all our children had animals and they passed away and we buried them and we say little prayers and everything,
right.
You know, when I was little, I started being, you know, right after the age of 7/8, I had that experience, and that's when I started sensing things. And I've never sensed cats, but I have sensed dogs, and my guess is that dogs may be some kind of a guide, possibly even for all the other animals or something, for their spirits. I believe their spirits go straight up.
Well,
you know,
I definitely believe that. Look, when I pass, I know every animal that I've owned is going to knock me down over that rainbow bridge when I go to that. Cause that's, look, if that's heaven, that's where I want to go.
But
I
want to
go and just rummage with the animals forever.
There
you
go.
See what I mean? Yeah. So doesn't that sound like a very peaceful place?
Well, if you do right in your life, my belief is that if you think about what the idea of heaven is that you, I mean, like George Carlin put it like this, he said that when you die, you get everything back. I remember him saying, you go to West Heaven to get all your stuff that you've lost in life or whatever. Well, I'm thinking there must be maybe South or North or East or West Heaven. You get to go to see all your dogs and animals, and they jump around you, and you know. But I don't know. I've never felt like animals can't be spirits. In fact, I believe the Indians had it right. They believed
they
had animal totems, and they had and their spirit guides were. A lot of them were animals, and depending on the tribes, and most tribes. One unique thing about Indians, I want to throw this out real quick. If my memory serves me correctly, I think the name for God in Egyptian and the name for God in Cherokee is
Ra
the same.
Ra is the God in Egypt, right?
And but I know I kind of jumped on a tangent, but the Egyptians love cats. That was their
thing. I know.
They
that.
Really dug cats. Cats was their.
Well, if you look at cats, I can understand why.
I love cats. We had a couple of rescues that lived to damn near 20 years old.
I gotta tell you something. Don't laugh when I tell the story. But you know what you were just talking about, you know, like communication with the other side. You know what I mean? In a situation, when I had surgery back in 2014. I had a breast lump removed, which, thank God, wasn't anything.
Ouch.
Okay.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, but they didn't have anything to compare it with.
Right.
And I was, I got knocked out, you know, twilight sleep, so I was out of it, but I was still, you know what I mean? I was out, but not out, you know what I mean? No tube down the throat, nothing like that.
All right.
When I woke up, the doctor and the nurses were giggling, and they looked at me, and they said, how's Walter and William? I said, what?
I know what happened. Yeah.
All right, and I went, what?
Yeah.
And I go, what do you mean? They go, you were talking to those two the entire time we were doing your surgery. I said, I was doing what? She said, yep, you were in the middle of a conversation. We couldn't hear them, but we sure knew you were talking and pausing, and they were right. And then when I went back for my checkup, I was like, oh, my God, I can't. They were all giggling. They thought it was the funniest thing they ever seen. So
I bet it was.
I go back for my checkup, you know, recheck, and I said, well, what'd I say? She goes, I'll never tell.
Oh, wow.
I swear to God, the doctor said that. So you touched on that because I was not – I don't remember it at all.
Mm-hmm.
And now you touched on when some person is passing. I wonder if it's kind of that same state. You understand what I mean?
Yeah.
You know.
Like a state of consciousness. I'll give you a good example of a movie that really, really may have been forgotten, but it is one of the best movies that I've ever seen. The one before it was Resurrection with Ellen Burstyn.
okay.
back in 1980. But there was another movie that came out not more than about, I don't know how long ago it's been, but it was called Dragonfly.
Oh, I remember that movie.
Dragonfly really, really went deep into the what levels of consciousness that you go to before you die. That movie, I've got to watch that this weekend. I just, man.
Oh, and another one, What Dreams May Come.
Oh, that's a really good one.
That's a good one for that. You know what I mean? That state where you're kind of stuck. You know what I mean? You know? Oh, that was a good movie. That was an ass kicking movie.
God. It was pretty good. But that Dragonfly with Kevin, I think it was Kevin Costner.
Kevin Costner, I believe so.
And there's a bus, and there's like, I remember it was flooding, but I remember that. I mean, it's just really great. I don't want to give the movie away, and I will. But because I want to watch
ahead,
this weekend with Danielle. No. Danielle and I are going to watch it again, so I don't want to get it.
It's called
Dragonfly. Highly recommended.
Oh, that's a good movie. I forgot about that movie.
That's what I figured. Most people have. And it's,
I completely forgot
about what we're talking about. It really is.
Oh, my God.
But I was going to say, if anyone has a story they'd like to share, call 347-202-0316. That's 347-202-0316. If you want to share. Hey, Lisa, how would you like to do NDEs next week?
That would be very, very good. Yeah, that would be definitely good. Okay,
we can talk
about that. Near-death
experiences, if you want to talk about those.
Yeah, if anybody's had them. I mean, technically, they could talk about them now if they call, too, because it kind of fits in.
Yeah.
We'll
talk about whatever. Yeah, it ain't like a schedule.
I'm curious because, you know, like people, you know, what scientists, even with the near-death, we'll talk about more next week, but even scientists have seen how the body continues to, you know, the brain cells and all that, and the circuit, I'll call it the electrical system in your body continues to go on for a few minutes. Do you know what I mean? Even afterwards.
Yeah, you're still charging. Yeah.
Yep. It's really weird. I wonder if that's that state where you see your whole life flash, but where you're, you know what I mean, or whatever. Because I don't know. I know a tragic. All right. I wonder if it's a tragic death like Aaron Carter's, you know what I mean? And Kurt Cobain, all right, like, you know, a tragedy of some sort. If they hang around for a little bit or they go straight over. I mean, I guess they can have an option to walk around with their guide or whoever comes to. I imagine that when you cross, if you're a good person, regardless of what it was, whether it was an accidental drug overdose, a suicide, an accident, a tragic death, I'm quite sure, like, if it happened to me, God forbid, if something happened to me, I know that a minute it happened, I'd turn around and there'd be Walter. Do you understand what I mean? I know that. Because I already know what he looks like. He didn't change. So, all right, you know what I mean? But I know that he'd be right there next to William.
Well, you know, you bring up a good actually, I'm going to touch base with what you had told me on the interview either I've done with you or one of our shows that we've done, where the opposite also holds true about the other direction. If someone done something really terrible and they took a lot of lives with them on their way out. God bless these people in Virginia, by the way.
I
feel so bad for them right now. That's not far at all from where we live.
It has to stop. I know.
It does.
This is people that stop shooting people. Man, I'll get the hell off already. Really.
And those people, we had discussed it on the show previous, that's probably, I mean, that's more than likely. If there's a one-way ticket to hell, that's the one. That's going to be the one they're going to, I mean, and if they take their own life, then that's just checking right into hell. I mean, so if you live a good life, like you're saying, and good, I mean, I can't say good. You know, if God created the earth, you look at the earth and you look at us and you look at everything around us, and you know that God has to have had a sense of humor in things.
I know.
Because there's a lot of things, I mean, seriously, you know, we're made, you know, this is the Christian. Okay, now I know there's probably a lot of different faiths, but just going by what only I can you know, I'm qualified to talk based on what my belief structure.
Yes.
I'm thinking that it's probably not that you got to be perfect, but good has so many different definitions.
Exactly. You just got to be good and kind and compassionate,
I think,
and have
kind
empathy.
And and have goodwill toward you and animals, nature, and things like that.
Yeah.
I think that is a powerful way to define good. That's why I'm nothing. I am Christian. Well, not Christian. Now, to be Christian, you got to be Christ-like. So I'm not Christian, but
Okay. You are. Because in my opinion of Jesus, he was like a hippie. Okay.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry, but
I got the tie-dye and the shrooms.
And the love to take care and to take care of each other.
Exactly.
And to have that. I always used to say he was a hippie when I was a little kid because, you know, it was hippie era. But when I think about it, and no matter what you believe in, he was the same way as everything else. Like when you come to the Native American beliefs, is what I really, really believe in, that everything on this earth is connected.
And that's
ground,
dragonfly.
What
dragonfly.
Yes, exactly. Everything is connected to everything else. So what we do to each other and to this planet, we do unto the human race. And,
absolutely.
And I believe that. I believe it with my whole heart. That, you know, that's why all the hate, I think energy has a lot to do with it. I think that when you put out hate, it got to go somewhere. Energy never dies. It only transforms, right?
Yeah.
All this hateful energy needs to stop, okay? Everybody needs to chill pill. Go back to hippie days. Just be like, you know what I'm saying? Just be good to each other because that is where the true, you'll cross over. I'll tell you what, half of these people, like the school shooters and whatnot, I don't want to go where they're going anyway. Get my point?
Yeah. I know that's right. No.
Maybe they recycle, like you know what I mean, or something. I mean, we could all be reincarnated, and who knows.
I'm a strong believer in that.
Yeah.
I was told, shout out to Andrew Brewer. Have you ever heard of Andrew Brewer?
I know the name, but I'm not quite sure, so fill me in a little bit.
Andrew Brewer, in 2011 or 12, I done an interview with Beyond the Edge of Reality, which was actually a early on blog talk radio outlet. It had Evan Jensen.
I remember it. Yes.
And I done that interview.
Yep.
And at that interview, the next week, I noticed they had a psychic named Andrew Brewer that they were going to interview, and he was a psychic for Obama and I believe George Bush or something. Andrew wanted somebody to call in to get a reading.
Yes.
To tell me about I call in and don't say nothing to him, just ask him what he's picking up.
Right.
And I'm going to tell you something. I've kind of been on the fence with psychics for years
because
I knew some people that had tarot shops and I was able. I'm sorry. I was available and able. get with some friends and bust them and find out they were using, you know, little triggers and wires and things like that.
Cold readings.
And you know, so anyway, Andrew Brewer changed all that in 2011, 2012.
Mm-hmm.
He done a reading on me, Lisa. And
he did good.
My jaw about fell out from it dropped so far. I'm like, wow.
I had one like that too.
And what I'm getting to with that is that he said I had been reincarnated hundreds of times, and for hundreds of years, those times that I was reincarnated, I was in the clergy in Europe.
Oh wow!
So and he said that's where you get your love of God and your fear of God. In your deepest part of your heart, he said, and you were in World War II. You were shot and killed. You were reincarnated, and you came back, and you were shot and killed in Vietnam.
Oh wow!
And he said, I was shot and killed in the Civil War as well.
Oh yeah.
And then it came back in that next life. I went and got killed again. I wonder why there's a pattern. I mean, by the way. He said my love of mechanics came from the one, the reincarnated person that was he was a mechanic. He was a Jeep mechanic in World War II. So, and he's sitting there telling me, this guy does not know me. And he's sitting there telling me, so you have a deep love for God, you're mechanically inclined, and you have a warrior spirit.
Right. Oh,
and
wow.
I'm like, I didn't know what to say. He said, did I get that pretty close? And the way he said it was just, I know I'm right. I'm like, wow, this dude is amazing. So shout out to Andrew Brewer. Whatever happened to him, he's amazing. But
you know what?
I had to say that. You were talking about reincarnation. I love Edgar Casey. I want to do a show, if you don't mind, in the future.
Oh, I would love to do that. Yeah, reincarnation is a very good subject to go on. Because we were talking, we have the combination of the cell memory from our ancestors, you know, which we are got part of that. But here's the question. Do we reincarnate through the same bloodline? Is my question. I wonder. Because our DNA, the cell memory.
The Dalai Lama, you look at that.
Yeah.
And then you see, they pick the Dalai Lama. He has to have a particular birthmark. And only one, and that's what Dragonfly was kind of hinting at about the birthmark and everything.
But I remember.
I don't want to give it out. But,
no, don't give it up.
It's so good. But no, it's kind of like what you're saying. Is it the same bloodline or is there a pattern? I don't know. What do y'all think out there listening?
Yeah, really, they're not calling in, but you could call in if you want to call in because it's about anything, whether it's the Rainbow Bridge.
Yeah, we still got
anything.
20 minutes. So
that's right. The Eagles game is on.
Ah!
Go Eagles.
No,
there you go.
Go Eagles.
Yay.
Yeah,
go
yeah.
on, birds. Good. That's why it's quiet. So they'll listen back later and then realize they could call in the next show. Okay.
Lisa, get your chicken off of me, Lisa.
My chicken's watching the Eagles game.
That's where it went. That commando chicken in your neighborhood.
Commando chicken.
Lisa, there's 10 minutes to show. Hey, get this thing off me.
Yeah, maybe he's watching the Eagles game with the Blog Talk Radio lady.
Yeah, they made up. Oh my God. He's on the table with his leg. He's cooked.
Okay, here's an example of what we're talking about. Now, you know how I found out I was related to William Howe from Fort Mifflin? Later, after I already was researching him, and then I ran into the old guy. I was like, oh, shit, you know?
Absolutely.
But, now everybody had said that his house had burnt down. Hear me out on this. This is why I'm saying.
Okay.
Everybody said his house had burnt down, blah, 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 and there were stones, blah, blah, blah. And this is historic researchers. These are the people that are supposed to know what the fuck they're doing. Sorry to say it, but really.
Yeah.
But when I got out the car, my very first time at Perky Omaville, and I walked onto the road. I'm not going to say what road right now, you know, because I don't need people going there.
No, don't.
Exactly. And I pointed, and I went, his house didn't burn down. That's his house.
Mm-hmm.
Right there. Now, I knew it was his house, even though it was remodeled. From the Civil War, I knew it was his house. So I went down to the Blairtown Historical Society to give them the location, blah 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 blah, and they contacted me and thanked me. I was right. Now, how did I know that?
Okay, I will go ahead and tell you what I think.
What do you think?
I was thinking that as you were telling me, and I thought this and told you this the last time we talked about it. There is a possibility. You know how you feel so okay, let me discuss you first, and then I got something to say after that.
Okay.
But in your case, I believe that you had been there in a past life. Okay.
That's what
period.
I think. Mm-hmm.
And that's why everything, you familiarize yourself with Selma so well, and
mm-hmm.
you familiarize yourself with Mifflin. You're connected to that. You're connected to that more than just interest because, in my personal opinion, I don't know anybody, and I mean this, with every ounce of who I am,
mm-hmm.
that would be more qualified than you to be a curator or a historian, which you already have been that. You've been a historian.
Yeah.
You've been on Travel Channel and all kinds of stuff. But,
yep.
No, but what I'm trying to say is that I can't think of anyone who is more intrinsically qualified to be that part of that because of your connection, what I feel that
and
you have now and probably much deeper It just seems like you know too much.
Right. Well,
and
to
know that and know where his grave was, and nobody knew where it was. You found it.
Well, no, no, no. I didn't.
No, the house.
The grave. But oddly, hear this
out.
So the grave is in the middle of the woods, and they don't give you a good location to where it is. Do you know? I walked right to it. Through the woods.
Oh, so you did find the grave.
Yeah, but no, it was already found, but it's in the woods.
Oh.
You get
but
what
you
I
didn't
you
know.
Understand.
Yeah, I know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I didn't
well,
know.
Well, what I'm saying
location.
Is that you didn't.
Yeah, I didn't know where I was going, and I went there anyway.
But
I found
they weren't trying to find it. You were trying to find it. But still,
I
you
found,
found
the house. I found the house. They had already found it, and they had marked it, but it's in the middle of the woods. You understand? Like, this is a mountain.
The grave. The gravestone.
Yeah. So I was standing by the house and turned around, and I said, here's the house. His grave is over there. And I put my finger out and pointed, and I started walking in that direction and went into the woods and found it.
Mm-hmm. That is something that's happened to me before, too, and I was going to tell you about that. Go ahead.
Walter, when we used to run the box, Walter would say to all of us, Lorraine and Wayne and me and Dawn, everybody, they called us the Fort family.
Mm-hmm.
That was the name. That's what we so became a nickname. We were the Ford family. But now I realize it might have had a deeper meaning.
First of all, reincarnation, yes or no, for me it's a definitive yes.
Yeah, me too.
And it was before I talked to Andrew Brewer in 2011/12.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I believe is, you know, people say, well, the whole thing about the paranormal, One of our things we like to say is we don't believe in coincidences. Not everyone, but a great many of us out here in the field believe we don't believe in coincidences per se. So what I gather from that is that reincarnation, there's something called deja vu where you feel like you've been somewhere.
Oh, I had one the other day.
And then it's a fleeting moment, and then you're like, you feel like you were really there, and then it's gone.
I know. I have
that
every day.
So a lot of people, I think there is psychology that can explain a lot of it, because I study psychology, and the one.
Uh-oh. Are you still there? If not, I'll continue talking until he calls the other line. I don't know if I lost you, cousin. I think I did, because you're not there. So I'll keep talking. What he's talking about, I agree with 100%, because with deja vus, I always believe that they are. Here he comes. Hold on.
No,
oh,
but like,
okay. I got this.
You know, people have talked. They have talked about reincarnation. They talked about deja vu and reincarnation. And since I studied psychology, I do know that a lot of that, because I studied deja vu and the effects and causes, causal.
Yes.
Ah, hell, I can't remember words. It's some conditionary causals or whatever. It's like
cognitive.
You've got cognitive. Sound like a turkey. The people. So a lot of them, it's just where it's like they go to a lot of different places and they familiarize themselves with a pattern, and they just fall into that pattern unexpectedly, and it triggers a memory response. That is very plausible.
Mm-hmm.
However,
there are instances where
it's impossible. To apply that, because there are constant instances of people that have had experiences and then corroborated them in a past life. Edgar Cayce is a fantastic example where he hypnotized people and they told him stuff, and those people were just everyday people, and they were telling him shit in different accents and dialects and languages. They actually found some of the people that had been talking, hey, you'll find me in a wall in the castle in Scotland. And, well, hellfire. The names of the towns were old names of the towns, and they found them, you know. So,
you
were going to say something. No, go ahead.
What people don't know, there's one thing that people don't know about me. Do you know Sylvia Brown, God rest her soul, right?
I did.
You know
I
who
knew
she was?
Of her. I didn't know. Yes, I knew. Yeah,
well,
I knew of her. And controversial.
She didn't
I
know her a different level. All right. She had a church that no one knows about. Okay.
She had a church where
it was Gnostic, where she taught Gnostic beliefs, and she nailed it. I'm sorry to say this, but she nailed it, what's going on, the years and everything. But anyway, but and I learned a lot from her. I used to volunteer for her church.
That's neat.
Back in the day. All right, and it was the most beautiful teachings, but very real. You know what I mean? Very, like, on point what we talk about, even though with the controversies at the end and whatnot, you know what I'm saying? But that other stuff that she had, it was on point. And I, because the books you see out, like, at the store are not the books I read. The books I have are study books.
Oh, no. Now, the whole thing about her is that she was very talented, but what a lot of people, and by the way, I'm not in any camp, okay? I'm just, the controversy is controversy. I don't lay on either side because I believe everything. I believe there's no coincidences.
Yeah.
And when you get stuff
know,
no coincidences. That's the whole thing about the paranormal. We always say how there are no coincidences.
Yep.
That's why so many things happen that are unexplained. About Sylvia Brown, this is just what they said, that she was on an incredible path and lost her way. But I don't know. How can I comment on that
I didn't follow her,
but you did. You would know more about
trolls,
that than me.
Yeah, so I think trolls got in the way, just like they do with the paranormal people. You know, it's the same thing. Yeah, but that's not what I learned from her. I learned different things, like soul's intention and how to be a good person and, you know, what you feel inside, how to respond to energy. That kind of stuff was really, really, really good. So on a different note, you know what I mean? Like on a different note.
Oh, yeah.
Which helped.
Yeah.
It really did help a lot. Like there's a book that one of the study books called The Soul's Perfection, which is about, you know, inside. It was really good. It helped me through a lot. Let me tell you. It really, really, really did. But she looked at at one of the events, she looked at my daughter, Jade, and when Jade just, she picked, there was a crowd, there must have been 1,000 people there, and she picked Jade out of the crowd, and she said, my God, she said, you're so beautiful, and you're so gifted psychically, and you know Jade is, right?
Yes.
My Jade, she is, she don't talk about it a lot, but she definitely
has
been
since
she's
kid. That's the real psychics, you know, you got all these charlatans out here. Doing all this, you know, sideshow horse shit and making money off of people who have lost their loved ones and have had deaths and they're wanting to
speak.
They
do cold
reading.
Cold
reading.
That's
why Houdini, Harry Houdini, who got a lot of them in the earth, like 100 years ago.
Mr. Magic Man.
Yeah, he was.
Magic
and
Man.
I'm honored.
I know.
I'm telling you, I'm honored to know some of his family. They're wonderful people.
Oh, wow.
And.
That's awesome.
To make a long story short, I'm not in any way saying anything negative about Sylvia Brown. I'm just telling you what people have said, and I think that is awesome that you connected. Because spirit chooses the conduit, okay?
I know.
You got to open yourself up to that conduit. And the last I checked, the human race is flawed as fuck. So
you
got to be this way and that way just because spirit will come through to you. I think
she said? She said, take what you want and leave the rest behind. That was her
motto. There you go.
Take what you want and leave the rest behind. It should be like that with everything. You know what I mean? You find your own way. You know what I mean? Stop letting people tell you what the hell's going on. Look, when you die, you ain't going to have those people that you're talking to telling you what to do, but they're with you. You know what I mean? You better be good and just do what's good. Right?
What's
good.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, she wasn't like Uri Geller or something. She actually had some amazing stuff that I was able to
over
the years here. Not that I followed her, like I said, but bits and pieces.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, that's what we gravitate to in the paranormal. We like to hear people
are
recognized for their gifts and their abilities, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, you got to connect with her
TV.
Directly.
Yeah, I did.
Oh, no.
I'm talking
about me. Yeah, I did.
Yeah, I
didn't. You know,
I know she was on Montel Williams.
Like I wasn't trying to make it sound like that because I don't know. No, but I do know that spirit gets to choose. You can do everything, and it may not choose to come through you. I have sister-in-laws that are psychics, and those are real deal. They're quiet about it.
Jade is extremely quiet, but when she says something, you always take notice because she really will just, and it's never planned. She just, you know what I mean, comes out.
Well,
and
you,
a,
know what I mean.
Says something,
you know what
and
I mean.
Then, yeah.
Quiet. You're not out
yeah,
there. Oh, I'm
yeah,
a psychic. Call 1-900.
I know. God, remember those days with all those lines that they used to tell people? My God.
Hey, do you remember Kevin? You remember Kevin Meaney? Shout out to Kevin Meaney, the comedian who passed away many years ago. He said,
no, I don't remember him.
He said he tried phone sex, but he used to get his penis stuck on the 9.
Oh, my God, that's just terrible. Oh, my God.
That's back in the push button days.
Oh, my God.
Really
back,
old
oh, my God. Remember the way phone back where they had to call with those numbers? And remember, it's like infomercials. Ooh.
Infomercials.
Oh,
I know.
Ooh.
I know, like, all right, yeah, I know.
We're coming down to the wire. We got 3:58. We got 3:58 left, so we're going to say our good night. I know this was such a good show.
Good night.
But next week, we're going
to
come back.
I love talking to you.
We're going
to
talk. I love talking to you, too. And next week, when the Eagles game's not on, let's hope somebody calls in. Because I know everybody's watching football. I just know it. I can see it in my head.
Hey, we love you all. Thank you for listening.
Yes,
we
love you. Yep. Yes, we do. And I know we'll get listened to after the Eagles game. Okay, so enjoy your night. And Cousin Fabian, I love you. And give Daniela a big hi and Petey a big hi. Okay? All right.
I
love you. And I will see you next time. I'm going to close out this thing with Mikey's song and the Live Paranormal. So good night, everybody. Good night.
Good night, everybody. Good night.
Good night.
For joining us on History FM Radio on liveparanormal.com and history.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience?